Welcome to Rehash.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Rehash, a Web3 podcast. My name's Anae.
And I'm LDF. And if you haven't figured it out yet, things might sound a little bit different on this week's podcast.
LDF and I were actually voted on by all of you to interview Diana, Tyler, and Ellie all about Rehash and crypto media.
Diana, Tyler, and Ellie were nominated by Meg Lister and voted onto the podcast by Govern, Frisian, Aaron Soskin, Spencer Graham, Daisy Aliato, Anae, Katie Atherholt, and Meg Lister.
So let's just get into it. All right, guys, we're going to start by talking about our favorite topic, which is crypto native media. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of going on in the outside world and social media more generally, between like Twitter open sourcing their algorithm, TikTok possibly getting banned. So I'm just really curious from the three of you, like how you think about in this moment in time, the importance of crypto native media.
Wait, we gotta roll the ads real quick.
Social media wasn't designed for ads and algorithms. It was made for people. And at Lens Protocol, we're putting people back in control. We're not looking for users' data. We're here to build a community of collaborators. Builders, artists, and dreamers ready to unlock a new world of social media. This isn't just an app. It's a flourishing ecosystem of platforms and experiences owned and operated by the developers and creators who are bringing it to life. In the Lensverse, you don't just own your content. You own everything. Your data, your connections, the value you bring to the table, it all stays in your possession, exactly where it should be. As a creator, the Lens ecosystem offers a new set of tools for connecting with your audience. Your data is truly portable and belongs to you. Post once and distribute everywhere in the Lensverse. You can even take your followers with you from app to app. As a developer, you can skip right past building the base layers and scaling your users by plugging your new app directly into Lens's existing infrastructure and community. So whether you create with a brush or a camera, sound waves or lines of code, it's time you got your due. Come create the future of social media with us on Lens Protocol. Lens is the last social media handle you'll ever need.
Have you seen how epic Ambier Wallet is?
How epic it is?
Yeah, cue the music. Ambier is a Web3 wallet that makes crypto self-custody easy and secure for everyone. Instead of relying on clunky seed phrases, you can create an account with the hardware wallet or username and password, secure it with two-factor authentication, and regain access with Ambier's cloud recovery. Need to pay out some contributors or execute a bunch of trades? No problem, Chief. Queue up as many transactions as you want, and when you're ready, execute the entire batch at the same time, paying gas only once. You can even prepay for gas with stablecoins or Ambier's native wallet token, which will get you some cash back. Without ever leaving the Ambier interface, you can manage assets from over a dozen chains, safely migrate them with Ambier's built-in bridge, and seamlessly interact with dApps like Uniswap, Aave, and Snapshot, all within the same transaction. Plus, Ambier is constantly growing their dApp catalog with trusted partners and collaborating with builders who want to establish the new standard for smart contract wallets. So, pretty epic, huh?
Yeah, I already know all that though. I've had an Ambier wallet for months.
And you didn't tell me?
You never asked.
To get involved and truly own your assets, go to ambier.com.
How was your day?
Bad.
What happened?
I bought some NFTs and then they just disappeared.
Sounds like your NFT creator should have used NFT.storage.
NFT.what?
NFT.storage. Come on, I'll show you.
With NFT.storage, anyone can easily upload their NFT data to a decentralized and reliable storage network completely for free.
Wow. How does it work?
Well,
instead of relying on centralized and impermanent storage solutions, NFT.storage uploads your files to IPFS and Filecoin. These are powerful peer-to-peer networks that are made for the decentralized web. Thanks to IPFS's unique storage system, you can be confident that once your files are uploaded, they'll be accessible from anywhere in the world for as long as you'd like. They're already trusted by some of the biggest names in Web3, like OpenSea, Magic Eden, and Rarible. By adding files to these networks for free, NFT.storage is helping to turn proper NFT data management into a public good. This will ensure that NFTs will remain accessible and secure in the long run, so you won't get rugged again.
Gee, so I just upload my files and NFT.storage will take care of the rest.
Now you're getting it.
Go to NFT.storage today to upload some NFT data of your own for free. And be sure to follow NFT.storage on Twitter at NFTDOTStorage.
Okay, we rolled the ads. Okay. What was the question?
Professional. Crypto native media. Hot takes. Let's go.
All right. Crypto native media. I look at what, maybe not specifically what we're doing at Rehash. I feel like we're getting there, but I feel like there is the potential for essentially like a new media layer. When I think of old school or like current Web2 traditional media that's digital, there's no like home for anything, right? Like you have a WAV file or an MP4 file or a video or whatever, and there's no way of putting those things onto the internet without them having to go through like a whole bunch of other platforms. So everything gets fractionalized. When I think of like my new favorite album, it's just digital, right? It doesn't live anywhere. There's no official like here's the full version and let's build stuff on top of it. It has to just like get pushed to Spotify and YouTube and SoundCloud and whatever. And so what I'm really excited about in the space in general is the potential for you're an artist or a creator or a brand or a company, whatever. You have a smart contract, you create a piece of media, it lives on that smart contract, and that becomes like your smart contract is like your source of digital truth. And then your NFTs are like the truest version of a piece of media, whether that's a song or a movie or an article or whatever. And then like, obviously we don't have the tools or the platforms or the streaming services to consume these things properly yet in like NFT form, really, outside of like some stuff that's being built on Zora. But yeah, I'll just rant about this for half an hour. But,
no, this is perfect, yeah, because like, you like basically answered my next question, which is like, we talk about this idea of crypto native media, but like, what actually is it? And I think summarizing what you said a little bit to say, freeing the content itself from any one of these platforms and freeing the people who are posting this type of content from being, let's say, like an Instagram creator or a Spotify creator, and instead just making media and being able to use that in a variety of ways. Diana, I know you've had a lot of experience with how this has manifested for individual creators on a number of different platforms. Like, why is this so important right now?
Yeah, I think right now something that people have been talking about a lot is this TikTok deplatforming conversation that has been being had in not just the US, but all over the world. The US has already banned TikTok on government phones and devices. Canada's done the same. The EU Council and the European Parliament and like the top three most powerful governmental agencies in the EU has done this as well. People all over the world are doing it because they don't want to be subject to having their data being released and collected by the Chinese government, which is the Chinese company that owns TikTok. I think the danger here for users, and we've seen this, this isn't like a new thing with TikTok. We've seen this in the past with Instagram as well. I've known creators who have their entire small business set up on Instagram or on TikTok nowadays, and Instagram can take away your account for whatever reason they want. They don't have to explain it to you, and you have really no way to get your account back. And for some people who have their entire business on one of these platforms, they can lose their entire business overnight. You know, the years they've spent building up an audience, building up a customer base, all of that is gone overnight. And that is a really, really scary thing. And I think that is probably the scariest thing that we'll see if TikTok does get banned universally, is I'm sure we'll see that happen to a good number of creators who are making their livelihood on TikTok today. So I think, you know, why does this matter is, to me, like, that is one of the most compelling reasons why it matters, is we don't want to be able, you know, we don't want anyone to have that level of power to be able to rip away somebody's job, somebody's career, somebody's livelihood from them overnight, and they have no recourse for it.
I think this is also important because I feel like these platforms kind of get to dictate what the actual media is. So like we have TikToks and like those short videos are known as TikToks. And like now there's like this way of making videos and this way of communicating with other people that's like distilled down into like short videos. And like that's how we know it. But when we take that away and like things aren't not a tweet and things aren't a TikTok and things aren't an Instagram reel, when we like can actually have just like creation on like a smart contract, then like that opens the door for like so much more innovation and like creativity and like who knows what kind of cool things people will make.
It's know? Just on the internet.
Yeah.
It's just internet stuff.
On the topic of creativity and innovation, obviously one of the reasons why we're talking to you guys today is because the three of you are responsible for creating the first NFT-powered podcast, and we haven't had much of an opportunity on the actual Rehash podcast to get a bit deeper into the story. Going to you first, Diana, curious, like, where this initial idea for Rehash actually came from?
Yeah, so I think the initial idea came from a combination of me wanting to start my own podcast with also wanting to create either a DAO or a community of sorts with media folks in Web3, because I was seeing that there weren't too many people involved in media in Web3, and I wanted to bring everybody in that space together so that, you know, we could learn from each other, work together, things like that. So I thought, you know, why don't I combine these two ideas? And that's how the idea for a community-owned podcast came about. So I thought, you know, why don't we try to build out a podcast in the format of a DAO? And that way we could kind of experiment with what that would look like. I really didn't know back then when we launched Rehash. We launched through a Mirror crowdfund. And in that crowdfund article really just laid out this broad idea that we were going to have a podcast DAO. And we laid out three of our core values. And that really was it. We didn't have a detailed roadmap. We didn't really have a detailed plan about how it was going to play out, other than that we would let the community decide which guests get to come on the podcast, maybe which topics we talk about and things of that nature. So that was really how the idea came about, was this desire to start a podcast and also the desire to start a DAO or a community of sorts of people who cared about media and Web3.
I think you touched on a couple of really interesting points there. And one that sticks out to me is just like the importance of crypto native media personnel, like the ability to articulate these narratives and tell these stories of all the interesting founders and projects being developed in the space, and adding the DAO component on top of it. So my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is one of the primary ways that people can contribute to Rehash is by proposing and voting on guests for the podcast. And I'm curious, as you guys think about building Rehash, scaling this brand, maintaining your creative voice while also co-creating with the community, what that has actually looked like.
So before, if we can backtrack slightly, before Rehash, a bunch of us who are on this call now were at Rabbit Hole doing the podcast there. And we went through a process there of actually decentralizing and like distributing the podcast production process itself, right? So not just like curating or contributing ideas or anything, but like literally like we tried to completely distribute the video production process, and like that shit's really hard. Like, I don't know. I know that there's projects out there who have decentralized actual like production and post-production processes for stuff. And that's awesome and like blows my mind, but that's really hard to do. And we kind of, when we first launched Rehash, started to do like investigate like how that would look. And it's just really hard. So we've been like, okay, like let's take a step back. We know what the production process is. It's smooth. If we do that ourselves, and now let's start to like decentralize and like not outsource, but allow other people to like curate the fun stuff and like the vibes. So like obviously the main thing is people get to nominate and vote on guests. Like Diana has essentially no say in who she talks to on this show, like, which is awesome for her. I don't know, but for all of us, like that's awesome. And like even that process, like we're figuring out still, and like using JokeDAO, and they help us like figure out more of that process. But yeah, so the actual production process, very hard to decentralize and distribute, but actually like curating the vibes and topics and guests is where we're still at with this now, and that works well. What we're gonna continue to decentralize and like put out to the community to decide, I don't know, but that's like kind of the goal now, is like, what else do we do that with?
Yeah, and then I think from my experience being kind of on the other side of things, Tyler and Ellie have been really involved in like the back end, but being more on the front end of it, I was really scared at first about letting the community decide which guests come on the podcast, because, you know, what if it wasn't somebody I wanted to talk to? What if it wasn't somebody I thought was interesting? What if it wasn't somebody that, you know, I thought was a good person? I mean, I don't know. Like, there were endless concerns about things that could go wrong. But I have to say that so far in the last 3 seasons that we've had our community decide which guests come on the podcast, I've been blown away in a good way by the people that they've selected. The people that they've nominated and voted on have been some of the same people that I would have chosen for myself, but more. Through that process, they've given me the opportunity to meet a lot of new people that I wouldn't have met otherwise, that I'd never heard of before, and who are just some of, you know, the smartest people, the nicest people, people who have become friends of mine. And I think I just could not have asked for a better outcome than that. And I really credit a lot of that to going back again to our core values that we started with. I think, you know, we pretty much, the only guidelines we laid out for people was, these are our core values. Everybody that you nominate has to align with these core values. And that was really it. And beyond that, you could nominate people, you know, that are in DeFi, that are in NFTs, that are, you know, in whatever field you want, but they have to align with these core values. And I think that really provided the right kind of guardrails and the right amount of guardrails for people to nominate like the most incredible guests.
Mm-hmm. So setting up like a relatively broad mandate where, again, you guys are working back from your core values and then the people that fit within that. Tyler, I also think you bring up an interesting point just about like, where do people actually want to contribute, right? And where do they have the resources and the bandwidth to contribute? And maybe that's not on the like back end video and audio editing that both you and Ellie are so incredible at, but actually having like creative decision making power in where the future of Rehash evolves. I think something that sticks out to me with Rehash in particular is the level of engagement that you guys have been able to maintain among your community members. You know, whether it's your Twitter following or the amount of proposals you guys get every season for guests or people voting on those proposals. What do you think is like contributes to that secret sauce in your ability to maintain momentum?
Like by giving people a piece of ownership in what they're being a fan of or the content that they're consuming, I think that keeps people a lot more engaged and makes people feel like they are really a part of this thing, not just as a passive consumer, but as an active consumer of the thing. And not just an active consumer, but almost like an owner. You know, like all of our community members are part owners of Rehash. They have, each person that's part of the community has just as much say as I do in which guests get to come on the podcast. I have no additional votes than anybody else just because I host the podcast. Tyler and Ellie don't have any additional votes either just because they edit the podcast. Everybody has an equal vote. And I think that really makes people feel like they're part of something bigger. And I think if we contrast this to a traditional podcast where, you know, you might just listen to the podcast every week. But beyond that, there's no real way for you to engage with the host or the guests or any other part of the podcast creation process. You have no idea what the podcast creation process looks like. You can maybe at most like DM the host on social media if you really want to get a hold of them. And chances that they'll reply are like pretty slim if it's a bigger podcast. And then you could DM the guests as well. But there's no way to have a cohesive conversation or a cohesive interaction with the host and the guest and, you know, all the other people involved in the process. And with Rehash, like, that's a big differentiator, is that you can hop into our Discord, you can talk to me, you can talk to Tyler and Ellie, you can talk to our past guests like LDF, who was on the podcast before, you can talk to everybody, and you can engage with us on Twitter too. We make it very open. And I think that that probably, like, that ownership piece, plus, you know, the part where they have access to everybody who's part of the podcast creation process, I think those two things really have been, the, as you said, the secret sauce to having an engaged community at Rehash.
Mm-hmm. I think also something that sticks out to me, and curious how you guys, so Rehash has been around for over a year now, right? Was the launch of the initial Mirror
almost
crowdfund.
A year. We launched at the end of April. Gone, yeah, so almost a year.
Oh, really? It hasn't even been a year yet. Wow.
This will probably air like so fast. This will probably air like almost exactly a year. Oh, we should make it a... Actually, I'm not going to say anything, because if it's not an action... Never mind. I'm going to stop.
Wait, let's make it the reunion podcast.
We should make this the one-year anniversary. Yeah.
If only there was some sort of like a transactional history that we could... Mm-hmm. reference to see when we did the crowdfund,
like on the blockchain or something like that.
Something I'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think looking back over this past year, and I know you guys have had like different ideas of what you wanted Rehash should be, what it evolved into, something that stuck out to me is just like your focus on creating like the premier Web3 podcast. So Tyler, maybe kicking it to you for a second. Like, curious how Rehash has evolved over the past year.
I don't know. So we launched in, we got to go back to last April. April of 2022 was peak, like, mini bull run, right? Or the end of, like, a longer bull cycle. And it was also, like, to be honest, like, that was peak, like, DAO time, where everybody was like, decentralize everything, everybody gets a say in everything, we're going to build everything together. And so you had a lot of projects, us included, who were like, okay, we're going to launch this thing, and then we're going to like just decentralize as much of it as we can. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, like, that's super hard to do. And like a lot of projects realize like, hey, like, this doesn't work. We've seen other projects like come and then just like kind of go of like, hey, like, we're launching an NFT, we're launching this project, and then there a couple months go by and like the market dips and people don't want to contribute, and they're like, okay, like, we can't even do this anymore. And it's not to say, also, just so I'm not throwing shade at anybody, just the record, we know that Bankless has a huge DAO, and they've somehow like that works super, super well, and it's a giant thing, they figured it out. I don't know what they're doing over there. But so we started off as like wanting to be more of a, like, try a whole bunch of things.
Well, we also, like, for context here, like, we raised a bunch of money in the crowdfund, and ETH was at, like, 3K, and then, like, shortly after, like, we failed to diverse treasury, and so then we, like, lost, like, a bunch of our treasury. So at first, we were like, okay, we have all this money, like, we can do more than just a podcast. Let's, like, try doing all of these things. Let's try making a production house and, like, kind of, like, investing in other podcasts and, you know, being able to, like, grow other podcasts and, like, let's try making a service DAO. Like, let's try doing all of these other things. And like,
which is all really exciting,
which is all really exciting, and we have to experiment, we have to try, and we have to fail. That's how you learn, that's how you grow, la la la. But at the end of the day, we realized, like, okay, what are we actually doing here? We're making a podcast. We want to keep making this podcast, so like, let's figure out how to monetize it so that we can keep doing this. And so then we kind of like put everything else aside and was like, all right, let's focus on this. And so then we were like, okay, let's try and get some sponsorships. And so then we were like, all right, let's like start making video ads. Let's like try all these different things. And so like, that's kind of like what has, you know, once we like narrowed the focus, like that's kind of what has made Rehash a little bit more successful, in my opinion, is like just being able to focus on what, like, this podcast only, let's just do a really great production. And like, I like to say, like, things grow from the inside out, but like, they start small and they get big. And so it's like, if we can get this down pat and like do this really, really well, and like, and then there's, you know, extra left over, you know, then we can like grow and figure out what makes sense to do more of later. And I just think we're still figuring it out. I mean, everyone's figuring it out in Web3, and especially with like the market conditions right now. But yeah, what was the question?
That was great. That was great. I think that answered my question fully.
I think that's spot on. Yeah, I think it's like really easy in the space to get shiny object syndrome and want to like do everything. So many shiny objects, and it's really hard to stay focused and do one thing well. And I think, you know, what Ellie was describing was us kind of like falling prey to that a little bit. We're like, ooh, we're a podcast DAO, but we could also do this and that and all of these different things, like 100 different ideas going on at the same time. And at the end of the day, we had to just kind of like calm ourselves down and be like, focus, you know, like what is this? What did this start as? What is this at the core? Let's just do that. Like do one thing and do one thing really well before you move on to anything else. And I think that's a good reminder for everyone, not just in the space, but I would say just anybody like in general, like in tech,
doing anything really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to give you guys credit because I think that's a really hard lesson to learn that a lot of people actually don't even get to, because there is kind of this, and it's a good thing too, but like a bias for experimentation, right? Or like throw things against the wall, see what sticks, you know, like maybe not even see it through to completion. And I think it's actually balanced really well with what you said earlier, Diana, about the fact that you guys didn't put out this really robust roadmap in the very beginning of like all the things you were committing to, right? At the end of the day, the podcast is the manifestation of these principles that you guys are embodying and that like kind of attract this community that has a very clear way to participate as well. And it's ironic because this is actually a lot of the conversations that happen in other DAOs and in like crypto at large around really big questions like governance power, you know, and like participation and incentive structures. And at the end of the day, I actually think Rehash is something that I reference quite often as a really good example of governing a thing, like you said, right? Like governance as a concept is impossible to actually optimize for if you don't know what the outcome of those decisions is even supposed to do. And on the flip side of that, I think that there's also a lot of conversations around media that are starting to come up because people are seeing the need to attract community members and help educate them on how they can participate and what those decisions actually are. And actually, Meg Lister and I were on a panel together in Denver, and we were talking about Rehash and Joke DAO because we were like, there is also this element of entertainment and like participation as governance, right? So like even Anae and I being kind of the co-hosts of this episode, that was a Twitter poll that got put out that you guys agreed to honor in some way, shape, or form. And now here we are, right? But like that is participation that you didn't need to, you know, like offer to pay people. People aren't confused on why they would want to watch the episode at the end of that. And so I'm just curious, kind of now that you guys have a lot of experience on both sides of the coin, right? Like you have also not just jumped into developing a podcast for the first time for the sake of, let's say, communicating a governance structure of Rehash. Like, what are those pieces of advice, aside from focusing on one thing and doing it really well, that you would give to other creators that are looking at some of the things we talked about earlier, right? Like the importance of crypto native media, or yeah, like this moment in time of being, yeah, like a creator outside of these platforms. Like, what advice do you have after this year?
Like, some pieces of advice are just tried and true things that people would have told you 10 years ago as well, you know, like be authentic to who you are and provide value. I think like these are two things that are good pieces of advice to anybody, and I think are actually harder to do than people think. I think once you become a creator or somebody in the public eye, there's a lot of pressure to sort of become the thing that you think people want you to become. And so I think staying true to yourself is always a good one. And then the other thing is that you do always want to be providing value. So through our podcast, we want to be providing value to our listeners, making sure we're not wasting their time, you know, asking them to listen to a podcast where they're not going to learn anything, they're not going to get any enjoyment or any entertainment value. Like, those aren't things we want. So we want to be providing good content. I think Tyler does a really good job with, you know, stitching together these pieces of each podcast episode in a funny way, where I think, you know, we really do see the value of entertainment and just watching things that you enjoy. Like, not everything has to be a learning experience, and not everything has to be like, you can get value in something without having learned like a concrete topic. You can get value out of something just by having a good time watching it. Like, you don't feel like you wasted your time. This is why people watch comedy, you know, and like stupid shows, because they get enjoyment out of it. They're not learning anything from it. So we try to sort of keep both sides of these in mind. And then I think more Web3 specific tips for creators. One thing that I've always said is to not be afraid to learn in public. And this is something that, you know, full well, LDF, like, you're the queen of just recording everything and anything you do and sending it out there. And who cares what people are going to say? And I know I really commend you for that, because I think it's really scary to do stuff like that, being concerned about, you know, is what I'm saying going to sound stupid, or, you know, will people judge me for how my hair looks today on this video? Like, there's so many concerns. And I say, just put it out there. Chances are other people are learning the same things you are learning at the moment. They have the same questions you have. And if they don't, then they probably did have those questions at one point in the past. So it's just very relatable. And then another thing about being a creator too is really like not forgetting the core, like not forgetting the primitives, not forgetting the reasons why, you know, you're bullish on crypto or decentralization or Web3, remembering like the core of what those things stand for and remembering the primitives, I think is a key piece that is also easy to lose when we see all of these new things popping up with DAOs, you know, or NFTs, like whatever it is you're interested in. It's so easy to get lost in these like new, again, shiny objects and forget the core of what you're doing. So those would be my main pieces of advice: stay authentic, provide value. And then on the more Web3 side, don't be afraid to learn in public and don't forget like the primitives.
Yeah, I think in line with the idea of like providing value, I think especially now coming back to Web3, there is a big opportunity to kind of like provide more concentrated value. Like we're just a podcast, right? So like at most, like we're like 1% of somebody's content intake, or like intake in general over the course of a given week. And like, that's fine. So the goal is more like, okay, how do we make that like the dopest 1%, where like that new episode comes out and they're like, yes, like cannot wait to listen to Rehash today. As opposed to being like, okay, how can we try and take up 10% of this person's week with like, here's some random thing we're gonna do on this other platform that has nothing to do with like our core thing. And so there's that. And then also bundled in that is like,
I mean, that's the unlock of Web3, right?
That's it, right.
Like, that's why that's why we're talking about something different, like as in like Web3 media, like that's what separates Web3 media from Web2 media. Like, we're a relatively small podcast, but because we're providing like really
specific, concentrated
value. But like, because our listeners get a say in what they are listening to, like that is where like the engagement, like the touch points are just so much more tactile. And like, that's why like people want to sponsor our podcast, you know, like it's because like our listeners have a say, and like, that's like so much more value provided to our sponsors because our listeners are actually so much more engaged. And like, that's just one very small use case of like Web3 media. And like, I'm really excited to see like what other people experiment with and like what things are going to be coming out, you know, in the next 2-3 years. But like, that's really the unlock, is like niching down and like finding where like the value can be. What is that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, just to just like close up this idea, like, I think nothing is for everyone, but Web2 social media like made us forget that. We're like, the way to create value around content is to make it as appealing as possible to as many people as possible, because the currency is attention. So the more attention you get to a piece of media, the more potential money you make from that. And like, I don't think that's a fundamentally true thing, but that was true on YouTube and Instagram and whatever. And now we have this new system of like, no, like you can just make a podcast or you can put out a song that 50 people really find valuable and like mint it and sell it. And like, they can directly support you instead of being like, all right, like, I guess I'll just stream your album 1,000 times so you can like get a dollar.
And that's like my favorite media, like in general. Like, I love like the movies that are like super niche that I'm like, this was made for me. Like, I absolutely like, has anybody seen The Secret Garden? I feel like maybe that was just my experience of it, but like, it's I didn't know that that movie existed, and I found it and I was like almost not gonna watch it, and I like saw it and I was like, wow, I like, this was made for me and I feel like it's mine. And I feel like, I don't know if it's a cult classic or not, I don't know if everybody's seen this and everybody loves it, I don't know, but it's like, my favorite stuff is like when you feel like it's just for you and nobody else knows about it. Like music, like when you're like, like, I heard this artist, nobody knows about them yet, like you love them more, you know, like you're, that value that is given to you is more than if it's just like a song that everybody's heard. And I think like that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah,
it's such a beautiful thing too, like you said. I mean, like, to basically identify or have help in identifying, like you said, Diana, that value, right? Provide value. What if people are literally telling you, like, this is what I would find valuable, please do it? How much pressure does that take off of a creator and a group of people who are trying to cultivate that type of connection, to not have all of the responsibility on them as well to say, I don't know what's going to work and I'm at the mercy of what performed really well with a bunch of likes or follows or whatever these like vanity metrics that we've been kind of addicted to in the current system have encouraged. And that's why I think it's really important to take your story like of Rehash, and like, you guys are deep in the weeds of knowing that and knowing it very intimately, and showing that to people who see marketing as kind of this like other, like, right, like podcasts and media, it's just marketing, right? And it's just like, there's these metrics that we have to be beholden to. And that's why I'm really excited to start seeing more platforms pop up around the content that already has this depth and value that you guys are creating, that I want to see more people creating, to facilitate more of that type of experience.
It's almost a bit of a cheat, like you said. You know, it's like we're asking our community to help us pick our guests, to tell us what they want to hear. I mean, it's a cheat. It really is. Like, most podcasters, they pick their own guests and they wonder, you know, oh, hopefully my listeners care about this guest and this topic as much as I do. Like, hopefully it's not just me. You know, sometimes you create content and you're like, I don't know if I'm doing this for me or for the people that are consuming this content. And we just like bypass that. And we know that all the content we're putting out is content that people want to hear because they already told us.
The next thing I want to see is people making more like clips and funny meme videos like you do, Tyler. Like, yours are so good. It's like, okay, now I want to see more remixes of these, even at my own expense sometimes.
Can do.
Well, and like, one thing I would love to see is like other people remixing our content. You know, it's like Tyler is just one person and he can remix as much as he can, but he's not going to like, that's not his, like, he's not going to spend 24/7 remixing content.
Got other stuff to do.
He's got other stuff to do. But other people, you know, like how people have already started doing that on TikTok and stuff, remixing content that's out there. Like, I would love to see people do that with our content too. We've got loads and loads of content. And if you're into editing and remixing, then go to town on it. Like, I would love to see that.
Yeah, and using different podcast NFTs, it's like a foundational building block upon which to remix on top of. I think that makes a lot of sense. On the topic of TikTok, and I have to ask, as people working on the cutting edge of media, I'm curious how, whether or not AI has played a role in your recent creative process, or how you're thinking about this new wave of technology and its interaction with what you guys are creating today.
I mean, I think it, for me, I know, you know, people kind of stand on both sides of this. For me, I'm excited about AI, and I think AI can enable us to create a lot more. I'd be curious to hear Tyler and Ellie's thoughts on it, because from where I sit, you know, like I'm not involved in the editing process and the post-production process. And that's kind of the stuff that I could see AI really helping with, is helping expedite that process, as well as helping, you know, maybe like cut up clips for us more easily or something like that. Like, we actually had a recent guest who asked us for the final like video file of his podcast. And he was like, I'm going to throw this in ChatGPT and see what they can come up with for me. So stuff like that. I mean, I think it would be really awesome if we could use AI to just like throw the final cut into some software and have it generate, you know, a bunch of like really awesome short clips for us once we tell it what our style is and what kind of content we like. Like, I think that would be so time saving. That would allow us to create so much more content. But yeah, I'd love to hear what you, Tyler and Ellie, what you guys think, since you're actually involved in that process.
I'll preface this with, I don't know shit about AI. I'm not like plugged into that space at all. I'm not following really what's going on. I'm definitely not anti it at all. I think it's interesting. I do think that I'm sure there's going to be a lot of very boring, useful use cases for it. Like what Diana is talking about of like there's tools now that would help us more easily like edit stuff down or more easily like cut out stuff in a podcast, but they're kind of janky. And my thought is that something built with AI makes that easier and smoother, and you can give it more specific direction as to what to do. As far as like a creative use case, again, I have no idea, but I think we like overestimate how much it's going to impact like smaller creative stuff and like smaller creators doing their own stuff, and underestimate how valuable it's going to be to like really large productions, like stuff like game design or really large budget movies that can now be like, hey, we wanted to like create this like huge film with like all this stuff in it, but like filming it or creating everything ourselves in Unreal or whatever is going to be, you know, massively expensive and time consuming, and there's just no way we can do it. And now to have something where you can expedite those processes to make something much bigger, like that's really interesting. I'm not worried about, I mean, knock on wood, but I'm not worried about like all of the stuff that I do becoming displaced by like an AI chatbot anytime too soon. I'll go back to bussing tables or something if that happens. But yeah, and as for Rehash itself, we're not like directly using AI at all, obviously. Yeah.
Don't worry, I think you guys are safe. You're all massively
really don't
talented,
want to go back to bussing tables.
I think
Tyler's actually AI, guys. Tyler's AI. That's what he didn't want you guys to know.
I think for me, the way I've been using it is just like kind of shortens the distance between thought and expression. On the line of what Diane is saying, I think a lot of more content is going to be created as a result of that. And potentially a way that AI and crypto native media can interact is, you know, as more and more content is being pushed online, and in some instances, AI generated content, proof of personhood is going to become really important. And that's where digital ownership comes into play as well. So perhaps like you guys are setting the stage for a lot of what podcasts are going to look like in the future.
If I can say something potentially sensitive, but short, I think AI is going to be very helpful for making a lot of new, good content, more so and first than it'll be helpful for making new good art. I think there's a distinction there that we're going to continue to see.
You don't think our content is art, Tyler? I think your shitpost videos is always pure art.
It's always a gradient, right? But
it's a spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think of it as the evolution from like YouTube to TikTok, for example, right? Mm. Like to be a relatively acclaimed YouTube content creator, like you need to know how to use video editing software. You need a relatively high quality camera, et cetera, et cetera. Versus with TikTok, you kind of just need your phone. Mm. And like AI makes that one step easier for like so many people to become creators online. Albeit maybe they're not that good, but an opportunity to like express themselves in this digitally native manner, which I think plays like squarely into the world that we all live in today. So it may, who knows, maybe there will be an AI guest on in the future. Wrapping up here, because I know we're at time and I could talk to you guys about this literally forever. And I think LDF probably feels the same way. We can't end this podcast without doing a little bit of a game. We know that you guys love
Diana
your
thought
games,
she was getting out of
and
it.
LDF has been the victim.
I know we're short on time, so I mean, I don't want to hold you guys past the hour.
Don't worry. Don't worry. We fit that in at the end.
Don't worry, though. This honestly isn't that bad of a game. It's a little fun one that we've prepared and with input from the community as well in the nature of decentralization. So it's going to be a little short game of this or that. You guys all know the rules, giving you two options, and then you're going to pick between one or the other. Diana, I'll start with you. Live or pre-recorded?
Live.
All right, Ellie, lens or Farcaster?
Lens.
Sorry, Dan.
I'm sorry. I mean,
Lens sponsors this podcast. Everybody go check out Lens.
I also don't have a Farcaster handle, so.
That's fair. Tyler, Twitter or Discord?
Twitter. Sorry.
All right, Diana, deep dish or thin crust pizza?
Thin crust, obviously.
Easily.
Too easy.
Ellie, acting or singing?
Ooh, singing, actually.
All right, Tyler, podcast or music NFTs?
Music.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we got a couple spicy takes in there. All right, we are at time. We finished the game. You made it through unscathed. I know I ate up about 30 minutes of our time from technical difficulties, and I'm so sorry about that. But this was so much fun. Thank you so much for having us.
You guys should ask Ellie to sing her song that she wrote about Lens.
Lens is the social of Web3. I'm going to take all of my followers with me no matter where I go in the deep blue sea of the Lensverse. The Lensverse.
Lens Maxi right here. Woo! There we go.
That's really how we're ending. That's how we're ending.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Rehash. Rehash is hosted by Diana Chen, produced and edited by Ellie Dots and Tyler Internet, and sponsored by Lens, Empire Wallet, and NFT.storage. Rehash is also supported by Rehash DAO, a community of NFT holders who curate our guest lineup each season. To get involved, head over to our website at rehashweb3.xyz and collect this episode as an NFT. Anyone who collects an episode becomes a part of Rehash DAO and will be able to nominate guests for future seasons. Voting rights are reserved for our guests, sponsors, and OG crowdfund supporters. And to learn more about how to become a guest or sponsor, go to rehashweb3.xyz/podcast. Finally, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at RehashWeb3 or on Lens at rehash.lens.